want to greet each one of you this morning in the name of Jesus. I'm trying something a little new this morning. I have a lapel mic on. Gives me a little bit more freedom to move, I guess. So bear with me this morning. The last time I tried it was at a wedding and it didn't function. So we'll see what happens this morning. We've been camping. We haven't been getting a whole lot of sleep. Somebody suggested this morning that maybe we do some moving around. So if I see you with your head bowed and your eyes closed, I'm going to take it that you're praying. But I may have you get up from time to time this morning and move around a little bit so we stay awake. I'm going to ask you this morning to stand. Turn to Matthew 16. This is our text for this morning. I've titled my message this morning, Via Dolorosa, The Way of the Cross. And we'll understand that a little more as we get into the message this morning. Matthew 16, verse 21. From that time forth began Jesus to show unto His disciples how that He must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. But he turned and said unto Peter, Get thee behind me, Satan, thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross, and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. Verily I say unto you, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the Son of Man coming in His kingdom. You may be seated. Just before this, Jesus had been talking to His disciples, and He was asking them, Who do people say that I am? And then He asked the disciples, But who do you say that I am? And I love hearing Peter. His mouth isn't closed very often. He's one that speaks up real quickly. And Peter right away says, You are the Christ. And Jesus blessed him for that. And then we come on into our scripture today. Jesus is starting to tell them how He's going to suffer. He's going to Jerusalem. He's going to suffer. He's actually going to die. And then we see Peter again opening his mouth. He says, No, Lord, not to you. This can't happen to you. And I can just see Jesus saying, Peter, where have I gone wrong? I've explained this. I've given this to you different times. You're still not getting it. He rebuked Peter. That's a little bit of the setting where we're at here. Then I want us to go to verse 24. Verse 24 is our key verse this morning. We'll read that again. It says, Then Jesus said unto his disciples, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. I don't know if you remember, I would say probably 2-3 months ago, I shared a message about laying down the stones that we're carrying. We had the cross up here. There was a pile of stones around it. And my idea was we have stones in our lives that are trials that we have, that are burdens that we have. We can bring those stones to the foot of the cross, and we can lay them there, give them to Jesus, and He will carry our burdens for us. This message is a little bit of a continuation, I guess, of that. This morning we want to look at what is it, what does it mean to take up our cross and follow Him? I've been studying this for a while, and I'll be honest with you, I came away from this a little different than I had expected. And we'll see that as we go. Let's look at verse 24. It says, if any man will come after me. It says, if. We need to have a desire to follow. If any man will come after me. A sincere desire. Nothing fake. It's got to be real. Jesus knows if it's real or if it's fake. We can make it look good on the outside. But if that desire is not there, it's not real. If any man will come after me, any man, I believe he was saying anyone with a soul. How many of you here this morning have souls? I'm hoping everybody here does. Everybody does. So if he says any man, that's to each one of us. None of us are exempt. That's each one of us. That's a bit personal, isn't it? He's saying if any man will come after me. He's saying, Lynn, if you want to come after me, Tom, if you want to come after me, I could name every name in here. If you will come after me, we need to have a desire that has no strings attached. Nothing, Lord, I will follow if I'm willing to follow you, Lord, if there's no ifs there for that. If any man will come after me. It's a radical desire. It's a desire that comes out of our heart. The next phrase says, let him deny himself. What does it mean for me to deny myself? We all have selfish ways, don't we? Every one of us. I believe he's saying that we need to take our selfish ways that we have and to give those to Christ. This is not something that we can go halfway with. He wants all of it. To deny is to restrain myself from those desires that gratify. So many times I blame somebody else for my issues in life. When I come back and I find out that self was the main reason that I have issues in life. I have self that's still there that we need to remove. If any man will come after me and deny himself and follow me. Is that what it says? What did we miss? Take up his cross. How much easier would it be if that wouldn't be here this morning? If that wouldn't be in the Scripture? But that is the important part of this Scripture this morning. Take up his cross. Let's go to... I'm not sure how to run this thing, Austin. I pushed the left button, I guess. Right button. There we go. Via Della Rosa. How many of you have seen this picture before or something similar? How many of you have been to the Holy Lands? I envy you. I would love to go visit the Holy Lands. Maybe someday. Turn to John chapter 19. I want us to get a picture this morning of Jesus carrying his cross. I brought this cross out of storage this morning. I thought maybe that would help us to picture a little bit more of what Jesus was facing. John 19, verse 16 says, then delivered he him therefore unto them to be crucified, and they took Jesus and led him away. And he, bearing his cross, went forth into a place called the place of a skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha. Here we have Jesus. If you can allow your mind to go back to Jerusalem a little bit. We have Jesus. He was tried. He was in Pilate's hall. And he was condemned to die. He was condemned to die by crucifixion. One of the worst deaths a person could face. After he got his sentence, Pilate said, "You can beat him." They took him and they whipped him. They spit upon him. In our terms, we would probably say his back looked like hamburger. It wasn't a pretty sight. History would tell us that Jesus was beaten beyond recognition. They took that crown of thorns. They took this crown of thorns. They put it on his head. And they put the cross on his back. Here he was hurting. He was so beaten. He was tired. He had a hard time just walking. I can imagine the blood running down his face because of the crown of thorns and what they were doing to him. I can imagine that blood running down across his back, mingling with the blood that was coming out of his back, running down his legs. If he was wearing sandals, he was probably walking in blood. I would guess if we were there that day, if we would follow that trail that he walked, there was probably traces of blood that came from him. Blood that was being shed for each one of us here this morning. None of us are exempt because of his love. They placed that crown or that cross on him, which probably was the beam, the main beam of the cross there, is probably what they carried, and it was probably a lot bigger than what we have here. But they placed that on his back and asked him to carry that to his place of crucifixion. He carried it for a while until he couldn't. Then they had a man by the name of Simon. He was from the country. He came and they asked him to finish carrying the cross for him. Jesus carried the cross for you and I. He was our example. Now he asks us in verse 24, he says that we are to take up his cross and follow him. I love summer. I love the green grass. I love the green trees. I like warm weather. I'm not a cold weather person. Most of you know that. Last winter when we had all this snow, we had this cold, cold wind. I thought there is no place colder than Michigan. And there may not be. But there is a place that is very cold. I've never been there. I've heard talk of it. And that's in Siberia. I guess they get some very, very cold weather in Siberia. I want to tell you a story this morning of a man by the name of Ivan. He was a pastor. We'll just call him Pastor Ivan because I don't know how to say his last name. Ivan was a pastor in the former Soviet Union when they were under communism. Ivan was arrested, was taken to Siberia. His crime was that he wouldn't listen to the government. He wasn't willing to be an informant for the government. He wasn't willing to let go of the five small churches that he had. So he was arrested. Him and 900 others were taken to Siberia. They had to march out across the snow. I don't know if they were barefooted, but they weren't dressed proper. They walked out across the snow to the camp where they were to stay. It was so cold that Ivan's feet froze. He had frostbite. They were swollen so bad that they debated amputating his feet. Because of Ivan's willingness to serve, there was a result, a positive result. Ivan could have given up. Ivan could have recanted. He didn't need to go out there and walk through that snow. He didn't need to suffer the 10 years under cruel punishment because of loving his Jesus. But he chose to do that. During their time at this camp, they were allowed to go out into the cities, the small towns, and they were allowed to work. They were probably forced to work. Ivan and his friends share the Lord those 10 years. And as a result of that, there's many churches in Siberia today loving the Lord. So we talk about carrying our cross. Really, what is it to carry our cross? We still haven't really come to a place where we understand what it is to carry our cross. Let's maybe talk a little bit, what is cross-bearing, what cross-bearing is not. The first thing cross-bearing is not, it's not a result of my neglect. And let me explain that a little bit. Wasn't sure what kind of an illustration to use, but I'm going to take, it's kind of a simple illustration, but let's say I have a small puppy. I have a tiny puppy and he lives in our house. And as puppies do, they need to go outside sometimes. So I allow my puppy to go outside. He goes over into the neighbor's yard and he does his business. Then he comes back in. I haven't trained my puppy right. The neighbors get upset at me. So now I have to bear my cross. I know, that's a pretty simple little illustration. This is not bearing our cross. This is a consequence. When I become sick because of my poor food choices, and I'm one that makes donuts and I'm saying this, but when I become sick because of my poor food choices and I end up in the hospital, am I carrying my cross? No, I'm not carrying my cross. I'm suffering a consequence. If I make wrong decisions and I blame it on Jesus for giving me that cross to carry, that's not carrying my cross. Let's look at what carrying our cross is. When Jesus went to the cross, He took something with Him. He took along our sins. Those sins were nailed to the cross with Him. Now He's asking us to carry the cross. We can no longer take our sins and nail those sins to the cross. He's already done that. We accept what He did for us. I'm going to ask you to stand for a bit again this morning. We can no longer take our sins and put them on that cross. We bring them to the foot of the cross. We accept what Jesus did for us. So us carrying our cross is being willing to identify in our hearts with the one that took our sins to the cross. Does that make sense to you? Are you following where I'm at? When I identify with Christ, I'm going to have a cross to carry. My cross may be different than your cross. We may not all have the exact same cross to carry. Maybe my cross is like Scott was talking about. Maybe my cross is being willing to move to Detroit. There's no family close by. There's loneliness. Maybe that's the cross that Jesus is asking of me to do. Asking me to bear. Maybe my cross is serving Him right here in this congregation here. We're trying to work together. That's our motto right now. Maybe my cross is being willing to work with somebody that's difficult. Maybe that's a cross. But Jesus says, you are to bear it for my sake. We identify with Him. Let's look at a couple people here in Luke chapter 9. If you want to turn there, you may be seated again. Sorry, I wasn't thinking about you standing. Luke 9, verse 57. Let's look at some examples of half-heartedness. People that just were not willing to bear the cross of Christ. And it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. Man, that's good. We can pray that prayer to God and tell Him, you know, we will follow you wherever. It doesn't matter. You give us a destination. We'll do whatever you ask of us. But then Jesus told this man, He said, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay His head. That's where I stop. Lord, you asked me to go somewhere. I'm expecting the same things there as what I had at home. But Jesus says, no, I don't even have a place to lay my head. You sure you're going to follow me? Then the next one in verse 59, He said unto another, follow me. He was a little more blunt. He said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. I've got things I got to do yet, Lord. I will follow you, but you got to give me some time. No. Jesus said, let the dead bury their dead. You go preach. The next one says, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell which are at home at my house. Jesus says, no, if you look back, you cannot be my disciple. You know, there's an interesting thing about this cross. In the time of Jesus, we would have looked at the cross. We would have thought that's a symbol of death. That's what they did to those that did wrong things. They put them on this cross and they nailed them to the cross. Somebody tell me what the cross signifies today in our time. Forgiveness. Victory. See, the cross is empty. He's not on the cross anymore. In the time of Jesus, it meant death. They didn't have crosses hanging around, I don't think, in their houses, in their cars, on their donkeys. They didn't have crosses hanging around, I don't think. We have a big cross right outside here. That talks about victory, about freedom. The cross is no longer occupied. It is now empty. You see, it's through this cross, giving ourselves totally to Christ, that we find life. And this thing that we look at, that we think was always signified death, we now find life. It has been turned around. We find life. Luke 9:24 says, for whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall find it. Am I willing to allow my life to be used for Christ today so I will have eternal life? Or would I rather use my life for my own self and lose my eternal salvation? Those are some serious questions that we need to ask each other. John 16:33 says, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Our Master has overcome the world. We're part of that kingdom. Greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. The cross that we have to bear is possible with Him. A few questions I had to think of as I was looking at this. The cross that I'm asked to bear, what if it causes me losing friendships? Am I willing to go the way of the cross if I lose some friends?
What about if my family turns against me? That's real to some of you here this morning. When you step out and you go the way of the cross, your family may turn your back on you. Are you willing to follow the cross? Am I willing to give up my job that pays well if the Lord asks me to move elsewhere and make less? What if my cross will eventually lead me to death? That's real for some people today too. We don't face that here in America. Not at this point. Maybe at some places, but not the norm. But there's countries where that is real. They're being persecuted for the sake of Christ. No, Jesus isn't asking all these things from all of us. But He's asking some of these things from some of us. Luke 9:23 again, He said, "And He said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily." We don't take up our cross one time and think, now we've got it, we're where we need to be. But we need to take up our cross daily. Recommit ourselves to the Lord. Continue to follow. Stay in connection with the Father. I can't carry your cross. You can't carry mine. So as we strive to work together here as a body here at Calvary Chapel, it's important for each one of us to take account. Are we carrying the cross? Or are we just at the point of suffering because of our decisions we have made? Are we carrying our cross for Christ? Am I busy going about my Father's business, sensing what He wants of me? I want to share three verses in closing. Verses of encouragement. Because when we think of bearing our cross, it does take encouragement. It's difficult. It's not easy. The Christian walk is not an easy walk. But I don't want to paint a picture either of it being such a difficult walk, we don't want to get into it. But it is difficult at times. We need the Father's help. 1 Peter 5:7 says, "Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you." That's been a favorite verse of my wife's for quite a while. Giving everything to Him. He loves us. He cares for us. He's there for us. Psalm 54:4 says, "Behold, God is mine helper. The Lord is with them that uphold my soul." And the last verse I have here is Psalm 121:2. "My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth." I've been going through the creation story the last while, just looking at creation and seeing how God has created us. He's made us. He knows what makes us tick. He knows us inside out. Here it says He made heaven and earth, also a big part of His creation. And it says that's the same God that will help us. That's what made all this stuff. So I guess my challenge to us this morning, are we willing to walk the way of the cross and to allow God to use our lives totally? Are we willing to commit ourselves, each one in our own way, daily to walk the path that He's chosen for us? Let's stand for prayer. Father God, as we come to You this morning, we thank You again for the cross that You were willing to bear for each one of us. The shame that You took on Yourself. Lord, it's difficult for us to be willing to take our cross because we know there's pain involved. We know it means, Lord, to stand out a little different because of the way we commit ourselves to You. But Lord, we ask for Your grace. We ask for Your strength. We just want to bless You and thank You again, Father, for Your love to us, that You will never leave us or forsake us. You're always there for us. We bless You. We just ask that You would bless the congregation this morning. Help us, Father, to walk faithfully with You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.